Four boats rowed silently, oarlocks muffled, across to Leith Bay. The city's lights offered a sufficient navigation beacon for inexperienced Imperial Navy coxswains. In fact, the hard part was less finding their way to their destination than making certain they gave other anchored vessels a sufficiently wide berth. It was no part of Garvey and Porter's plans for some civilian anchor watch to hail them and raise any sort of alarm ashore. Nothing of the sort happened, and Garvey's boat slid quietly under one of the city's older, more rickety piers. It was almost low water, and he was pleased to see his mysterious correspondence notes were indeed accurate. The receding tide had exposed a wide expanse of rocky shingle, roomy enough for half again as many men as he'd brought with him, nestled in the ink-black shadow of the abandoned pier. The first two boats were already disembarking their passengers, a full company of guardsmen, equipped with their personal weapons and a dozen bullseye lanterns with firmly closed sides, when Garvey stepped ashore. He looked around just long enough to reassure himself of the spot's suitability for landing, then nodded to the senior of the quartet of coxswains. "This'll do," he said quietly. "Head back for the next lot."
"Aye, sir."
The petty officer had a Chisomian accent, Garvey noticed. Now the coxswain looked thoughtfully at the gentle waves rolling up onto the shingle.
"Tide's going to start making in another half hour or so, General," he said. "Be at least twice that long till I can get the next load ashore. Might be you and your lads are going to find yourselves waiting afore that happens."
"If we do, we do," Garvey shrugged. "The good news..."
He twitched his head at one of the pier's pilings and the necklace of high-water shellfish and weeds which encircled it. "Is that it's not going to get a lot more than knee-deep, even when the tide's all the way back in. Not that we won't appreciate your moving things right along."
"Oh, of course, sir," the coxswain chuckled. "We'll do that little thing."
"Good."
Garvey's teeth flashed in a smile, so white it was dimly visible, even in the pier's shadow. Then he smacked the coxswain on the shoulder.
"In that case, though," he said a bit pointedly, "I suppose you'd best get started."
The coxswain's estimate turned out to have been almost uncannily accurate, the sort of offhand precision 20 or 30 years' experience at sea could provide. The water was little more than ankle deep by the time all four boats came sliding silently out of the night once more, although the guardsmen had been standing there long enough to demonstrate that none of their boots were truly watertight. Garvey could feel the cold water squishing around his own toes, seeming to swirl a bit, even inside his boots, as small wavelets slopped across the shingle. It wasn't the most pleasant sensation he'd ever experienced. On the other hand, he could think of quite a few which had been worse, and few of them had come his way in such a good cause.
"Captain says Captain Porter's first lot made it ashore all right, and tight too, General,"
the Chisomian coxswain said softly, as the second load of guardsmen climbed out of the boats.
"Reckon his second lot'll be going ashore in about another 15-20 minutes.
"Good,"
Garvey said again. He looked around as Major Niklos, who'd been promoted to command his own battalion since the Manchir raid, and Alston got things organized. He considered what the coxswain had said and the street map which had come with the letter. He compared overland distances from his current position to his objective, then considered how long it would take Porter to reach his primary objective. Allow another 15 minutes or so for slippage, and...
"All right, Frank," he said quietly, his mouth a foot from Niklos's ear. "It's time we got them started moving. Your scouts have their bearings?"
"Yes, sir,"
Niklos replied equally quietly, and grinned tightly.
"And they're good men, too. As a matter of fact, Yeoman picked them."
"I figured he would,"
Garvey snorted, giving his armsman a look of affectionate exasperation.
Give him an inch and he'll take a mile, Major. Never has known his place.
Now you know that's not true, sir, Alston said. Know my place perfectly, I do, right here.
He pointed at the water slopping over the shingle, approximately 2 feet behind Sir Corin Garvey.
As for the rest, well...
The armsman shrugged with the confidence of a trusted family henchman, and Garvey shook his head.
All right, Major, he said resignedly. If Yeerman's deign to sign off on the suitability of your scouts, let's move out.